Chapter 6. Richard wrote a diary entry in his head. "Dear Diary," he began, "on Friday I had a job, a fiancé, a home, and a life that made sense, well, as much as any life makes sense. Then I found an injured girl bleeding on the pavement, and I tried to be a good Samaritan. Now I've got no fiancé, no home, no job, and I'm walking around a couple of hundred feet under the streets of London with the projected life expectancy of a suicidal mayfly." "This way," said the Marquis, gesturing elegantly, his filthy lace cuff flowing. "Don't all these tunnels look the same?" asked Richard, tabling his diary entry for the moment. "How can you tell which is which?"
"You can't," said the Marquis, sadly.
"We're hopelessly lost. We'll never be seen again. In a couple of days, we'll be killing each other for food."
"Really?"
He hated himself for rising to the bait, even as he said it.
"No."
The Marquis's expression said that torturing this poor fool was too easy to even be amusing. Richard found that he cared less and less what these people thought of him, however, except, perhaps, for Dor. He went back to writing his mental diary. "There are hundreds of people in this other London, thousands maybe, people who come from here, or people who have fallen through the cracks. I'm wandering around with a girl called Dor, her bodyguard, and her psychotic Grand Vizier. We slept last night in a small tunnel that Dor said was once a section of Regency sewer. The bodyguard was awake when I went to sleep, and awake when they woke me up. I don't think she ever sleeps. We had some fruitcake for breakfast. The Marquis had a large lump of it in his pocket." Why would anyone have a large lump of fruitcake in his pocket? "My shoes dried out mostly while I slept. I want to go home." Then he mentally underlined the last sentence 3 times, rewrote it in huge letters in red ink, and circled it, before putting a number of exclamation marks next to it in his mental margin. At least the tunnel they were now walking down was dry. It was a high-tech tunnel, all silvery pipes and white walls. The Marquis and Dor walked together in front. Richard tended to stay a couple of paces behind them. Hunter moved about. Sometimes she was behind them, sometimes to one side of them or to the other, often a little way in front, merging with the shadows. She made no sound when she moved, which Richard found rather disconcerting. There was a crack of light ahead of them. "There we go," said the Marquis. "Bank station. Good place to start looking."
"You're out of your mind," said Richard.
He did not mean it to be heard, but the most sotto of voces carried and echoed in the darkness.
"Indeed," said the Marquis.
The ground began to rumble. An underground train was somewhere close at hand.
"Richard, just leave it," said Dor.
But it was coming out of his mouth.
"Well," he said, "you're both being silly. There are no such things as angels."
The Marquis nodded, said, "Ah, yes, I understand you now.
There are no such things as angels, just as there is no London below, no rat speakers, no shepherds in Shepherd's Bush. There are no shepherds in Shepherd's Bush. I've been there. It's just houses and shops and roads and the BBC, that's all,"
pointed out Richard flatly.
"There are shepherds,"
said Hunter from the darkness just next to Richard's ear. "Pray you never meet them." She sounded perfectly serious.
"Well,"
said Richard. I still don't believe that there are flocks of angels wandering about down here.
There aren't, said the Marquis. Just one.
They had reached the end of the tunnel. There was a locked door in front of them. The Marquis stood back.
My lady, he said to Dor.
She rested a hand on it for a moment. The door opened, silently.
Maybe, Richard said, persisting, we're thinking of different things. The angels I have in mind are all wings, halos, trumpets, peace on earth, goodwill unto men.
That's right, said Dor. You got it. Angels. They went through the door. Richard shut his eyes involuntarily at the sudden flood of light. It stabbed into his head like a migraine. As his eyes became used to the light, Richard found, to his surprise, that he knew where he was. They were in the long pedestrian tunnel that links Monument and Bank tube stations. There were commuters wandering through the tunnels, none of whom gave the four of them even a first look. The perky wail of a saxophone echoed along the tunnel. Burt Bacharach and Hal David's I'll Never Fall in Love Again, being played more or less competently. Richard successfully fought the urge to hum along. They walked toward Bank Station.
Who are we looking for again, then?
He asked, more or less innocently.
The angel Gabriel? Raphael? Michael?
They were passing a tube map. The Marquis tapped Angel Station with one long dark finger. Islington. Richard had passed through Angel Station hundreds of times. It was in trendy Islington, a district filled with antique shops and places to eat. He knew very little about angels, but he was almost certain that Islington's tube stop was named after a pub or a landmark. He changed the subject.
You know, when I tried to get on a tube train a couple of days ago, it wouldn't let me.
You just have to let them know who's boss, that's all, said Hunter, softly, from behind him. Dor chewed her lower lip.
This train we're looking for will let us on, she said, if we can find it.
Her words were almost drowned out by music coming from somewhere nearby. They went down a handful of steps and turned a corner. The saxophone player had his coat in front of him on the floor of the tunnel. On the coat were a few coins, which looked as if the man had placed them there himself to persuade passers-by that everyone was doing it. Nobody was fooled. The saxophone player was extremely tall. He had shoulder-length dark hair and a long forked dark beard which framed deep-set eyes and a serious nose. He wore a ragged T-shirt and oil-stained blue jeans. As the travellers reached him, he stopped playing, shook the spit from the saxophone mouthpiece, replaced it, and went into the old Julie London song, Cry Me a River. Now you say you're sorry.